Welcome to the Dustin Fife podcast. I have a exceptionally special guest today. This person is special because he is related to me. Why don't you introduce yourself, good sir?
I am John Fife, the father of Dustin Fife. Let the world rejoice.
Woohoo! This is my dad. This is where I get 90% of my silliness from. The rest is mutations, I guess.
No, the rest is homegrown.
There you go. Nurture, nature thing, all that good stuff. Anyway, I brought my dad on today because this week I am sharing a ghost story. It's actually going to be featured on Granny Sue's blog. And the reason why I brought my dad is because he was there for that experience. And I wanted to get his side of the story as I'm sharing my side of the story. So if you don't mind, Dad, I'm going to go ahead and take the lead on this one. And then you can just pop in with little details that you remember and I'll ask questions along the way. How's that sound?
You're the guy. Go ahead. You first.
I'm the man. I'm the man. All right, so this, I don't remember what year it was, but I think I was 17 years old. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I think you were 16 or 17. That sounds good.
Yeah, because Jordan was on a mission at the time, so he's 2 years older than me. He went when he was 19, so that put me at 17-ish. So anyway, there's this vacation spot that we used to go to all the time. It was our favorite vacation spot called Vantage, Washington. And so what we would do is we would pack up our tents and do some camping, and then during the day we'd go water skiing. And from what I remember, this is the first time we actually got to stay in the cabin. Is that right? Is that how you remember it?
Yeah, I think we were rolling in money at the time, and so we got to rent these cheap little cabins.
Yeah, we were living large at that time, I tell you what. So, I mean, we'd always seen these cabins. They didn't have any air conditioning, any heating. They just had a window and a couple of beds. I mean, on the left, as you walk in, left, there were two bunk beds. I guess one bunk bed, top and bottom. And I don't remember how the rest of it came out. I mean, was it just one big bed on the right? Was that how it was?
No, when you walked in the door, there were bunk beds to the left and to the right. And just so the listeners get a picture of it, I mean, we're talking about very small accommodations. These would be cabins like you would find out in the wilderness between long distance hikes. I mean, very rudimentary, very basic. The only thing that was in them were the bunk beds.
Okay. That sounds about right. So anyway, we go in there, and I remember, so it was me, my dad, Austin, my little brother. He's 3 years younger than me, and he brought his best friend, Nick Duke, along, and then my little sister, Shawnee. So if I was 17, that puts her, I think I'm 11 years older than her. So 17 minus 11, that makes her 6 years old at the time. Probably should have brought her on, but I don't know how much she'd remember about it. So anyway, we roll in. We got the burb, which was slang for the Suburban. And was that the silver one that we had at that time?
It was brown.
It was a brown Suburban. Okay. So we get in there, and then Nick Duke and I paper, rock, scissors for the top bunk, and I won. And Austin decided he was going to sleep outside. And from what I remember, he wasn't too happy about it. He wanted to sleep in the cabin, but we kind of allocated him outward. And so the first night, I was in the top bunk and I just couldn't fall asleep. And if I remember right, I just had this weird, creepy feeling about it. I didn't know what it was, but I was just sitting there and just felt really uneasy. Did you feel uneasy at all the first time?
Well, I think your recollection is a little different. I think you and Nick, and I don't remember if Austin was there, but I wasn't in the cabin for the first story that you're relating.
Oh, you weren't? Okay.
No, and I'll let you finish it. I think I had stretched out the seats in the boat, and Jordan and I were sleeping in the boat.
You mean Austin?
Side on, Austin on a nice summer evening. We were sleeping in the boat. So I'll let you take it.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So anyway, I guess it was just me, Nick, and Shawnee in that room. And so anyway, I'm sitting there, and I just can't sleep. And so, and it was hot. It was, I mean, for Washington, at least, it was a hot day. And so I'm sitting on my side and I'm looking over the top bunk at the, they had these little gauzy, you know, fabric over the windows that were somewhat translucent. And I was just watching, because the window was open, and I was watching these drapes kind of dance in the wind. And then I close my eyes and then open my eyes and see those drapes dancing in the wind again. And then probably must have been the third or fourth time I open my eyes and I see this girl. She was probably, from what I remember, she had blonde hair and she was probably about 8 years old and transparent. I could see right through her. And I thought, holy cow, I cannot believe that I'm actually seeing this. And it terrified me. I don't remember if I screamed or not. Do you remember? Did I wake you up that night?
Yeah, absolutely. You came out, and my first question was, well, how come you're not inside trying to sleep? And then you related what was going on. And, of course, I at first didn't accept that. But I could see the terror in your eyes. And you said, I'm not sleeping there anymore. And you crawled into the Suburban, and that's where you spent the rest of the night.
Okay, that's right. So anyway, I was totally freaked out and decided to sleep in the Bourbon the rest of the night and just could not sleep at all because I was terrified that there was this ghost lurking over my shoulder, breathing down my neck the entire time. And so, very fitful night. The next day, we, you know, wake up, and I remember that Austin and Nick were both teasing me, and it happened to be that I was taking an abnormal psychology class at the time. And they kept accusing me of having schizophrenia, that I was just seeing things and hearing voices, and it just kind of became the running joke of the day that they were just making fun of me. I mean, at this point, do you remember that part, that they were making fun of me?
Oh, absolutely.
Were you making fun of me, too?
You know, honestly, son, I think I was. I was teasing you. Yeah.
As is your duty, I suppose. But anyway, on the way back, we go to a restaurant. Now, since then, I've actually looked up that there are two restaurants in that area. Do you remember which one it was, whether it was the Blustery something or other or the Harvest something or other? I can't even remember the names.
Yeah, I think at one time it was a chain restaurant because it had that unique 50s style to it. And, of course, this little town was never able to keep this restaurant going for a very long time. So it had changed hands many times, and it would be like a like a big boys restaurant that then had the signage had been taken off and the locals were trying to run it. So that's the one that we walked into.
So anyway, the one thing that I do remember is we went in, and I think Austin, Nick, and Shawnee, and I don't remember where you were. Maybe you were there too.
Yeah, I was
there. We were sitting at the bars. Were you at the bars with us?
Yeah.
Okay, so we were sitting at the bars, and there were two locals. I remember they were a brother and a sister. And so we started talking to them, and I don't remember who brought it up, but it was probably Nick. He was trying to tease me, and he said, hey, you guys have any good ghost stories? And from what I remember, without any prompting, they said, oh, do you mean the story about the girl, the little 8-year-old girl with blonde hair? And that freaked me out because up until that point, I thought, okay, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I am envisioning things. But to hear this confirmation that this was a common occurrence. Now, the one thing that they did say is they said, oh, you mean the girl with the blonde hair that held a cat in her arm. Do you remember that part?
Yes, I do remember that. And I was starting to change my mood from teasing you to go, holy smokes, could this really be serious? Because your recollection is absolutely spot on. The locals immediately started telling us this story about this little girl. And if I remember right, she had died tragically or something like that. And the locals also told us that we definitely were not the first campers in the cabin to tell of seeing this little apparition.
Interesting. Yeah, because my recollection is they gave me details that I hadn't given them that had basically confirmed my story. So, because part of me wonders in retrospect whether they were just trying to, you know, kind of scare me even further, tease me a little bit. But from what I remember, they actually gave details that I hadn't given them to give kind of to corroborate the story. And so after that experience, that did nothing to alleviate my fears. That made everything much, much worse, and I was just terrified of that night. And so I go back into the camp. Now, along the way, if there's any details that you remember that I'm missing, go ahead and interject at all.
The other part of the story is how your dad went from thinking ghosts were silly stories to absolutely a believer in things like this could occur is the second night you absolutely refused to go back into that cabin. And so my daughter, Shawnee, myself, Nick Duke, and I think Austin, we decided then to bunk in the cabin. And at the time,
let me make one correction, because I'm pretty sure Austin didn't come with us.
Oh,
I think Austin remained either in the Suburban or in the boat. I think it was the Suburban, but go ahead.
Yeah, you know, you're right. And so I had taken, it was a very large flashlight, and I had set it in the middle of the cabin between the bunk beds. And as we retired for the evening, I made it a big point with Nick, who profoundly loves to tease people, don't mess with a flashlight. I think this is serious enough that let's not compound it. My daughter's already scared. Everyone's kind of freaking out. So just leave the flashlight alone. I'm going to turn it off now. Let's go to bed.
And let me make one addition before you continue. I kind of arm wrestled Nick on this one. I said, I am not taking the top bunk because I did not want that window to be visible. So I said, I am going in the bottom bunk. So I'm in the bottom bunk and Nick is in the top bunk. Okay, go ahead.
So when we occupied the cabin, Nick was now in the bottom bunk bed. I was in a bottom bunk bed.
Don't you mean the top bunk bed?
No, Nick. Nick was in a
bottom. I think he was in the bottom on the first day. I was in the bottom on the second day.
Yeah, the night that we were in it, Nick was on a bottom bunk bed. I was on a bottom bunk bed because both of us could easily reach the flashlight and turn it on if we needed to. And then my daughter was sleeping in the bunk bed above me. After about a half an hour, and I think I was pretty close to dozing off, the flashlight suddenly came on. Now, you have to understand this flashlight was actually a flashlight that was designed to be used in the railroad. And so to flip the switch from one position to another really took a manual effort to throw that switch. It wasn't something that you could lightly bump and the flashlight would turn on. It really took effort to do it. The flashlight comes on. I roll over, look at Nick, and I said, Nick, knock it off. And he looked at me and he said, Mr. Fife, I didn't turn the flashlight on. And I thought he was still joking. And so a little bit more sternly and in a real gruff voice, I said, Nick, come on, this is stupid. You're going to scare my daughter. This isn't funny. Don't do that. And he again emphasized, Mr. Fife, I didn't turn on your flashlight. And then it was like this overwhelming feeling that both of us had simultaneously. Oh my gosh, something really is going on here.
Let me add a couple details because I remember it slightly differently. I'm pretty sure I was on the bottom bunk. I could be wrong. But because what I remember is sitting there and I said, all right, I am not going to open my eyes because I'm not going to see a ghost anymore. And so I closed my eyes, refusing to open them. And I was on the bottom bunk, if I remember right. And one detail that I think you forgot is we hear this.
Yes.
And then at the end of that, then the flashlight pops on. And I remember, you remember that?
Yeah, I'm actually kind of getting chills right now as you fill in the details.
Yeah, and as soon as that sound came and that flashlight turned on, I said, Nick, you better stop it. I mean, both me and my dad were both saying, you need to knock it off, because we both thought he was joking. And from what I remember, Nick said, the flashlight is nowhere near me. And it wasn't until then that I looked down and realized the flashlight was by me. And I knew I didn't turn it on. I knew Nick couldn't turn it on. And at that point, I had this huge panic moment of, oh my goodness! So what was your reaction at that point?
It was the same. I mean, I honestly was very, very much concerned, you know, and as a parent, you got to hold back your fear. And so, you know, I said, you know, let's everyone calm down. Let's think about this. And then the next part of the story is I thought, well, the light could have somehow jiggled because of this noise we heard. And so I picked up the light thinking that I would find the switch in the off position and that if I shook the light, I would see clearly and profoundly that the light could, in fact, come on by itself. To my surprise and probably horror, the light, the switch had been moved to the on position, and that's when I really became concerned. And I remember you know, kind of walking outside, and I don't know if anyone followed me to kind of gather my wits before I went back in, because if I had been a non-believer before, I was certainly and suddenly a believer.
Oh yeah. And I mean, that's what I say in the blog post, is I say, I generally almost laugh at the people who are ghost hunters. And yet I've had this experience that I can't deny. This thing happened to me. And at that point I said, I am getting out of this cabin. So I went outside and I opened the door to the Suburban and woke Austin up, and he was pretty upset about it. And he said, fine, if you're going to sleep here, I'm sleeping in the cabin. I said, don't you dare leave me alone. And I put my foot down. And so for the rest of the night, I had my little brother protecting me. But yeah, man, oh man.
Yeah, Nick and I and Shawnee stayed in there, but it was a pretty sleepless night. I mean, I remember my son obviously telling me the night before he'd seen this apparition. And I kept looking at those curtains fluttering from the wind that was blowing outside, thinking at any minute I might have the same witness of a ghost. I'm glad I didn't, but the flashlight episode was enough to, I definitely went from thinking it was all nonsense to go, there's really something to these paranormal things that you hear about.
Exactly. Very, very strange experience, but a fun one to tell, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, anytime people want to rag about, you know, ghosts really aren't, I can absolutely tell them, hey, I was there, my son saw it, I had secondary effects from it, it's real stuff, you better pay attention.
Exactly. Well, I really appreciate you joining me today and helping me fill in the details. It's been awesome having you here, because you remembered some things that I'd totally forgotten.
Oh, and likewise, you remember something. And, you know, the other part of it is the stories that were told by the locals is I think I already covered it. Never mind. This little girl had been tragically killed somehow. So it was, wow, kind of spooky, kind of weird.
Exactly. But a whole lot of fun to tell.
Whole lot of fun to tell.
Oh, yeah. Well, I really appreciate you being with me on this podcast and helping me remember some of those details.
You're welcome, son. Son, thanks for the phone call.
All right. Have a good evening, everyone. Thank you.
See you later.